Well, welcome everybody here in this room and to those of you watching online as well. Like Rebecca said, we had an amazing past week of celebrating the joy of baby Jesus and what that meant to so many at that time, but just as importantly, what that meant to us now. And Christmas Day has come and it's past, and the busyness of life with friends and family and concerts and whatever else might take place has passed. And we've moved on into the next season of our lives. We quickly move on from one task to the next. And this is why we need to remember this past week. The series we've been going through for the past month is called Inauguration Day. And we don't normally think about that phrase having anything to do with Jesus or Christmas. We typically think of Inauguration Day having to do with a new president, which means there's new changes and there's new leadership. And this president is going to bring those changes. The word inauguration actually means beginning, though. It's the start of something new, which means the greatest inauguration day in all of history was a couple days ago with the birth of baby Jesus. It was the best change. It was the most impactful change anywhere, anytime. It changed everything. But sometimes change is hard for us. Whether we change or the people around us change, or maybe just in the moment, things just change. Change is difficult. As you've grown up, or even in more recent years, some things just never change, like items at Christmas Day or Christmas Eve meal. There's some things that you just look forward to year after year after year because you know it's going to be there every time. I want you to think about those pieces of food that you know are not going to change when you come to the Christmas Eve or Christmas Day dinner table. And I want you to take a second and tell somebody around you what that food is and what it represents to you. Go ahead, go and do this. For me, this piece of food that I know will be there year after year after year is a special salad. You can put it in quotes because it's a Jell-O salad. And it has nothing to do with health at all. It has Cool Whip and mandarin oranges and Jell-O. And my mom makes this every year, and I know it will be at the Christmas meal. And if this was the only food I ate for my entire life, I would die a happy man. I love it. I absolutely love it. So you just look forward to these traditions, and that's a silly one. But this past week, think about all the different traditions that stem around Christmas. You've participated in some knowingly, and others you don't even realize that it's a tradition that you're participating in. Think about what each of these traditions might mean, or how each tradition brings a different feeling with it, or how each tradition brings a new memory. Just around Christmas itself, I have so many memories from growing up. My family and I would travel to southwestern Minnesota to a small town called Springfield. And Springfield, if you blink, you miss it. It's all cornfields around it. And I remember one Christmas, there was so much snow that the snowdrifts piled all the way up to the height of a telephone pole. And whether my parents knew it or not, me and my cousins went and started climbing on these snowdrifts. And we also made snow forts in these snowdrifts. This is something I won't forget. I also remember the smell of my great-grandma's basement because us kids were sanctioned off down there for hours upon hours, probably so the adults could keep their sanity. But we would play pool down there, and we would just hang out. These are things that will be etched in my mind forever. These are fun memories, but then there are memories that have a little more meaning behind them. And they're not just good memories, they carry weight with them. And these weighty memories have significant implications for us and our lives. One of these memories would happen every year with my immediate family growing up. After our Christmas Eve celebration with about 50 to 60 people in a small South Minneapolis house, we would come home and we would be in the quiet and we'd turn the lights off and the tree would be lit and we would light a candle and we would take a moment to read the story of Jesus before we opened any gifts, before we did anything else. This is a tradition, but it's also something more than that when I look back on it. I know it's more than just a tradition. It's a memory. It's a tradition that's a memory that became sacred. And I looked forward to these times before Presence to read that story because it formed in me a moment that shaped who I would become. It shaped my faith. It shaped who I would become in the future with my own family, as that is a tradition I think I would like to start when I have kids of my own. It was a solidifying factor in the laying of the foundation of my faith. Each year, however, we move so quickly onto what is next after Christmas. So we need to take a second and pause, and we need to remember what has taken place in our lives and how Jesus' birth has changed us. So how do we do that? Well, Pastor Joel always talks about these things called God promptings. And he says we get thousands and thousands and thousands of God promptings all throughout our lives. And I want to take this idea of God promptings a little further. I believe a sacred memory is a life-changing moment where God moves. I also think a sacred memory is a God prompting that gets remembered. And I think we are so unaware of thousands and thousands of God promptings. But the ones that we are aware of, the ones that we do remember, become etched into the laying of the foundation of our faith. If you think about the Christmas story alone and the characters in that Christmas story leading up to Jesus' birth, you have the shepherds who are told about Jesus' birth first by one angel. And in Luke 2, it says that the glory of the Lord shone around the angel, and the shepherds were terrified. So you got shepherds and angel, and shepherds are terrified by one angel. Then Luke writes a few verses later that a great company of angels appeared. Can you imagine the impact that not just one angel, but a company of angels had on these shepherds? They knew something greater was happening among them, and this God prompting moved them to go and find more about what was happening. So they went and they traveled to meet this baby Jesus. Then there were the wise men. They followed a star to present gifts to this baby. And this moment is no ordinary moment, and it would not be lost in the next task that they have to do. This will be a memory that would be etched in their minds, which will shape the way that they live for the rest of their lives. And then there's Mary. Oh, Mary. She is visited by an angel, and she's told that she's going to have a child, but she's going to remain a virgin, which makes sense. And this child is not just any child, but this child is the Son of God. And this child will take the throne of David, and this child's kingdom will never end. So this has to be one of the most sacred memories that has ever existed for anyone, anywhere. This moment shaped the history of Mary's life. This moment shaped the history of our existence and the existence for humans forever. But there's a problem. You and I, we don't encounter a company of angels. And you and I, we don't follow a star to present gifts to a little child who's the savior of the world. And you and I, we don't have children while still being virgins. And we're not told that our children are going to be on the throne for all of eternity. And since that is never going to be our story, I want to take a more simplified approach to this idea. So let's scale it back a bit. Let's move from the supernatural with angels and virgin births, and let's take a look at another place in Scripture. I think that these moments happened all throughout Scripture, these sacred memories. So if you want, and you have your Bible, you can open up with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Otherwise, the Scripture will be on the screen beside me. Matthew 4 says this. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them. And immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. this story, this is about as simple as it gets. Simon Peter and his brother Andrew hear a calling they can't resist. Now, there might have been a little more dialogue besides just come and follow me, but the point of it all is it was a simple call. This call became something they couldn't resist. This call became something they would remember for the rest of their lives, even after Jesus left them. They would literally hear the voice of the Son of God the Father. They heard the voice of Jesus, and it became a memory they wouldn't forget. It became a sacred memory that would become the basis of everything they would do for the rest of their lives. This was the God prompting that became a sacred memory for them as they listened to the voice of Jesus. This was a foundational piece for Peter and Andrew and James and John. Well, there's a problem again. You and I, we're not going to have Jesus walk up to us and with an audible voice call us and tell us to follow him. It's just not going to happen. But have you ever been called out by someone, whether it's a coach, a teacher, a parent, a friend, or whoever it might be, and the words that they said sit with you, and they hold, and you hold on to them, and you don't forget what they said because they've impacted you in a different way than anything else they've said before? Well, when I got my first job out of college, my youth pastor, who had a profound impact on my life and my faith, texted me. And I remember the words of those texts. And he said to me, "Congratulations, your only job now is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And everything you do as a pastor will come out of that." This was a sacred memory for me. I knew the importance of my calling as a pastor, but I kind of forgot my calling as a Christ follower was even more important. Each of us have the same calling. The calling that Jesus gave to Peter and Andrew and James and John to be a Christ follower, to come and follow Jesus so that we can become fishers of men. Another sacred memory for me is when I was growing up at the dinner table, after we were done eating, my dad would grab a devotional book off the bookshelf. And either he would read it or one of the kids would read it or my mom would read it. And I don't remember what the devotional book was, and I don't remember any of the devotions. But what I do remember is the importance of reading together as a family, the importance of living out our faith together as a family. And looking back on it, I see this importance of laying that foundation together. And I know this is a sacred memory that I will hold on to and probably use with my own family. It doesn't matter if you grew up in a house that knew Jesus as Lord and Savior, or you recently found your faith, or you're still questioning what this whole deal with Jesus is. We all have thousands and thousands of God promptings. And I think the story of Saul, who was not a Christ follower, is a prime example of someone who listened to a God prompting. If you open up your Bibles with me to Acts 9, you can follow along. And while you're turning there, I wanna share with you what happened in the story before the scripture that we're going to read. Saul was a man who hated people who followed Christ, and he hated them so much that he killed them. But Saul had an encounter with God that was so real that he couldn't ignore it. And Saul knew he needed to change, and he did. And this is where we pick up in Acts 9:19. It says, "Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, 'Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?' Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah." Saul knew that this God prompting he experienced on the road to Damascus was something he would never forget, and it shaped him in a way that was so powerful that he began defending the person he was once killing people for following. Saul was changed forever because of this encounter, and he would never forget this moment, and it became a sacred memory for him. My question then turns to all of us. Where in your life have you had a sacred memory? Or where in your life are your sacred memories? As you look back on your life, what memories have shaped you that you cannot ignore, that you know have laid a foundation for your faith? Excuse me. For me personally, these moments are so important to think back on and remember these sacred memories, because they are some of the most memorable moments in my life. They are the times when I have known without a shadow of a doubt that God is real, that my faith in God is real, that my faith is foundational to who I am, and that God is worthy of so much more praise and adoration than I could ever give him. And I have a bit of a confession for you. In my life, I tend to live in the here and now. I don't think much about the past, and I don't think much about the future. And this is not a good thing at all. It's not. And this is probably a personal problem, but this is why I want you to have a little insight into why sacred memories are so important. I think as we reflect on these memories throughout our lives, it's important for us to remember them for a couple reasons. Because first, sometimes we doubt or we forget. We forget how sacred these memories are. When I look back on these memories, they ignite my faith again. They send a little jolt of electricity to my faith. And I don't ever doubt that God is real, but sometimes I forget about who God is, about what he's done for me, about the change that's taken place in my own life because of his son, Jesus. I forget about who God is and the reality of what it means for his son to be born. This is something that I want always to be at the forefront of my mind. Christ's birth should be one of the most sacred memories we have. And each year we move so quickly onto what is next. Christmas has happened. So we pack away the tree and we jump into the new year. And I'm so thankful for this time to come back on the calendar so that we can remember Christ's inauguration and what has changed because of his birth. And this might sound a little weird, but I've had many thoughts about teaching about the Christmas story in April or May to the students when they're not even thinking about Christmas. I have thought that this moment should be remembered more than just in December, that it should be remembered constantly throughout the year, that we should constantly be coming back to Christ's birth and what it means for us. So our sacred memories should be continually impacting our lives, and these memories should change our lives. It should also change the lives of those who we are with, whether it's with a family or a friend or whoever it might be with. These moments in our lives that leave a lasting impact should be experienced together. Some of the most impacting moments in my faith have been with friends or family. The summer after my senior year, I went on a camping trip to the Boundary Waters with some of my closest high school friends. And while we were there for a week, we spent time canoeing and portaging all throughout the Boundary Waters. But we also were intentional about talking about God and what he has done in our lives. We talked about our faith and what God meant to us at that time. We talked about how we changed. We spent time alone in Scripture. We spent time alone praying to God. And this trip was one of the most influential times in my life in terms of my faith development. And the reason I share these things from my life as well as from the lives of those in Scripture is because I want you to know how important these memories are. They really do lay the foundation for something greater. They are the building blocks for God to continue the greatest story in your life. So wherever you are at in life, whatever stage of life you're in, wherever you're at in your journey of faith, you're here now. You're sitting in the seat you're sitting in now for a reason, because we have a purpose as Christ followers. We need to remember the moments where God is prompting us and not just let it stop there, not just let it be a prompting. If we don't respond to what God is prompting us to do, we are not allowing the fullness of who God is to work in our lives. We are not allowing his inauguration to change us. And if you're struggling to think of any sacred memories, manufacture some. If you change nothing, nothing will change. So start a tradition around Christmas or birthdays where you emphasize the birth of Christ and you remember and reflect on what he has done for you and your family or whoever you are with. These memories are not just for us either. This is something that I want to challenge you to really think about. What God promptings have you had that have turned into sacred memories that you will never forget? Whatever those sacred memories are, share them with other people. Bring others into the moments where you and God have intersected, where you have known God to be so real, so tangible, that you have no doubt that he is the most important relationship in your life. We must hold on to these sacred memories, the memories like the true inauguration day, with Jesus being born, because these sacred memories will forever mold us. As you reflect on your own life, these sacred memories don't have to just be from childhood. We're 3 days from the new year. Reflect on this past year and remember how God has moved in your life. Some of us have a really easy time remembering the hard times or the moments that are extremely challenging, while others are able to see the really happy points in life. For Kristen and me, this past month has been an incredibly hard month due to some unfortunate events. And we've chosen, however, to look back on this past year and remember the moments that have been filled with joy and remember how God is faithful even through those difficult times. Shauna Nyquist, who wrote the book Bittersweet, writes this: "When life is sweet, say thank you and celebrate. And when life is bitter, say thank you and grow." This is what God is calling us to do. Remember these sacred memories from the past week, from the past year, from your life, and grow through these memories and celebrate the joy of God. Let's pray together. Lord, you are incredible. You are so good to us when we are so undeserving. And Lord, I just say thank you for the birth of your son. That he has come to this earth and not just changed people when he was walking this earth, but that he has changed us and continues to change us in the here and now. Lord, you are so worthy of praises. And that's why we come to this place. We come together to praise you. We come together to remember what's happened this past week in celebrating the birth of your son. Lord, would you continue to be with us and speak to us as we continue to praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.